Good morning again. We're going to be back in Hebrews 11. But this time, we're not really talking about a single person. We're going to be talking more about a common thread that we find throughout all of the saints that are listed here in Hebrews 11. So, without any further ado, we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Let's pray. God, as we come before You now, worshiping You through Your Word, I pray that You will open Your Word to us in a new way today, that we will understand a little bit more Your majesty, and more than that, Your amazing love. God, as we come to this scripture, we see all the examples of all the saints of old, the patriarchs. God, I pray that their example of faith will burn in our hearts, that we will understand what it is to live by faith, and when our days on this earth are through, what it means to die in faith. In Christ's name, amen. This passage is really about a common thread that runs through all of those who exercise faith. So far, looking in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, we've seen the examples of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Abraham's wife, Sarah. In the coming weeks, we're going to see a whole lot more individuals that the writer to the Hebrews has named as examples of faith. We're going to see Abraham again. We're going to see Isaac, Jacob, Moses' parents, Rahab, several of the judges. But what's common between all of them is what we find in these verses 13 through 16. Another way that you might put the beginning of verse 13 is, according to faith, died all these. So whenever they died, they were doing so just in the same way that they had lived. It was by faith. They were finishing in faith. And that's the common thread that we're going to see. All those who walk and live by faith, they finish by faith as well. Now, in our culture, we have many songs, many different poems, many different things that ask us this question. The question goes something like this. If you had a week, or if you had 1 year, or if you had 1 month, 1 day, it varies. If you have a set amount of time, let's just say 1 week to live, what would you do? How would your life change? What would you do with that remaining time that you had? A lot of people have seriously been faced with this question. They go to the doctor and they get this report that it's cancer, and they have a couple months. That's it. Now, We all know the healing power of our God, and that does not always mean 2 months and it's over. Some people have received that report and lived many years. But we know of other people who have heard that report and it's only a matter of days. The fact of the matter is, whether someone wants to come to you and say, you have 1 week to live, or you have 1 month to live, the fact is, we don't know what we have left to live. And that's the kind of urgency that our patriarchs lived with as well. Now, some would argue, well, Enoch, he never died, so how does this verse include him? Well, like I said, another way of looking at it, instead of saying these all died in faith, it's probably a lot more appropriate to see these all finished in faith. When their life was over on this earth, they were still walking in faith. Enoch was on earth, but he was translated to heaven to be with God. So whether you call it death or a translation, it's still ceasing to exist on earth and being in the presence of God. So even in his case, he's finishing his walk on earth, though he's not dying. So if we're faced with that question, then it becomes a matter to us. How do we change the way that we're living? What would it look like? In most of our cases, it would probably be very different. Maybe we might quit whatever job or anything that we have left to do. Maybe we would become better witnesses. Maybe we would become little Billy Grahams and just go out and nobody would be able to shut us up. Who knows what we would do? Maybe we would give away all the money that we had to people. Maybe we would just take more time with family. But regardless of what we do with it, that question should be just as urgent to you today, whether it's true of you or not. It should be just as urgent to you when I'm saying it to you, that you have 1 week to live, as if a cancer doctor told you you had 1 week to live. I know in most of our cases that's not going to be the way that you take it. You're going to hear this and you're going to go right out those doors and live exactly the same way that you've always lived. And that's okay. I'm just telling you, there's an urgency to the message of Scripture. And it's far more urgent than even what a cancer doctor can tell you. Now, these men and Sarah, when they are told the promises, when the Bible says of them that they finish in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. When it says that, what are the promises that he's giving to them? Well, basically, it's the promises that we've seen all along. The first promise, of course, is that the seed of the woman is going to come, crush the head of the serpent, and end the curse. Another promise that we see given to these is the promise specifically given to Abraham, that the whole world will be blessed through his offspring. Now, when we hear these promises, we see what they are. If you peel away the wording of the promise itself, what is it that's being promised? If the curse is going to end, what's the result of that? If all the people of the earth are going to be blessed through the offspring of Abraham, what is the result of that? What is the blessing? What is being promised? It's this blessing that we can know God. When the curse is taken away, what does that amount to? That means man is back in fellowship with God. That's what the curse did to start with. It separated Adam from God. Before, if you recall back in the garden, Adam would walk with God in the coolness of the day. When the curse comes, it ends that. The relationship is done. Adam is not able to walk with God in that way anymore because he has sinned. He separated himself from God. And now these promises are telling us, as they were telling our forefathers, that that curse, that separation, it is coming to an end. All of our forefathers trusted that. That's what their faith was in. The fact that the separation was coming to an end. That they were going to get to know God on a personal level. That they were going to be able to see Him face to face. To be able to walk with Him. And seeing these promises far off, they were assured of the truth of these promises. Not only that, not only did they know that these promises were true and they were going to happen at some time in history, the Bible tells us they embraced them. They held tight to these truths. They knew that it was going to happen. And what happened as a result of them holding tight to these promises? It completely changed the way that they lived their lives. They confessed. They admitted that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's probably a far different existence than we think of. We have our roots planted in a certain plot of land. We're Americans. We're happy to tell anybody that we're Americans. We have the ability to live the American dream. And yet, our forefathers, they admitted they were not Canaanites, though they moved to live in the land of Canaan. They called themselves the people of God. They didn't label themselves with a geographical term or a political term. Now, what's unique about that? Well, what they understood is that God's dwelling place is not here on earth. And for them to be able to have this special relationship with God, where they would know Him face to face, it meant that they could not consider themselves citizens of the earth because the earth is not where God dwells. They had to understand there is another place where God has His throne, and they are citizens of that land, not this land. If we are going to be of those who walk by faith, we have to come to the same conclusion. Now, we have seen the promise fulfilled. We have seen Christ come in the flesh to be nailed to the cross, to take the curse and completely wipe it out. And then to prove His dominion over it by rising from the dead 3 days later. We have seen that. And yet, we understand that this earth is not our home. Christ's kingdom is not this world. It is a new heavens and a new earth that are going to come down. Therefore, we have to admit with our forefathers that we are strangers and pilgrims here. Our citizenship is not on earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. So basically, from this passage, what do we find faith to be? Faith is longing to be with God. Faith is everything within you yearning and just wanting to be in the presence of God. To be able to see Him physically with our eyes. It's that faith that longs to be in a right relationship with God again. To be able to love Him with all that we have. And this is why apostasy from the faith is so dreadful. Why it's so horrible, so deplorable. Because apostasy is saying, I would rather live here on this earth and enjoy my possessions, my positions, anything I can gather here, and die under the curse than to live forever loving God. Apostasy is turning away from the possibility of loving Him to just keep doing what you're doing. To just be happy with what you have, live a few years the way that you want to live, and then be completely separated from Him. That's what apostasy is. That's what unbelief is. It's not wanting to love Him, but trading in any kind of relationship that you would have with Him simply for a few years of pleasure and then death. Now, when it's put like that, it sounds a little bit more serious. You mean if I don't love God with all that I am, that I'm being unbelieving? Essentially, yeah. David expresses this kind of faith really well in Psalm 27. And he shows us what it is to really have this desire and longing to love God. And that's essentially what faith is. It's longing for God. Loving God. Not loving so much the things of this world, but loving God. David says in Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." If we are walking by faith, our hearts are going to echo with that message of David. We're going to be just enraptured by the idea that we're going to be with God. Nothing should be able to make us more joyful or more excited than the thought of being with God. If there's anything in your life that makes you more excited or really gets you going more than thinking about being with God, then simply put, you don't know God. Because if you know Him, you can't want for anything better but to be with Him. That's the joy of heaven. Not so much getting out of hell or seeing relatives that have passed, but it's simply being able to be with God. Those other things are nice, but being with God is so much more above that. When David has this kind of love and this yearning and longing for God, I think that's the kind of faith that's being talked about when in verse 16 it says, "Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." God is not ashamed of those who come to Him in love, who are on their hands and knees crawling to Him, just yearning to be with Him. If your whole existence has that kind of a direction where you just want to claw your way just to be with God, then you can be assured He is not ashamed to be called your God. He wants you. He's calling out to you. To walk by faith is to be walking in a direction toward God. It's making one step at a time toward Him. It's making Him your goal. It's clawing your way. It's scraping your way through whatever means possible just to be with Him. And the means that we have is our Savior, Jesus Christ. These forefathers, they were promised that this relationship would be again possible. But they only saw it from far away. And yet Christ tells us that Abraham longed for his day, and he saw it, and he rejoiced. Abraham saw the day of Christ far off, and he knew that it was coming, and he embraced it, he held to it, and he made it his point of living. He saw the day of Christ afar off, and Jesus Himself says that He saw it, and He rejoiced in it. That's what faith is. It's seeing the day of Christ and rejoicing in the fact that we can have a relationship again. We no longer have to be shut off from God because our sinfulness separates us so clearly from His holiness. But that there is a way made through Christ to where now we can be in this relationship again. This is the common thread of all who exercise faith. They understand that where they are here on earth is so minor, so insignificant compared to being with God. I've been in services, and most likely you have too, where it's almost like a patriotic service. We usually have them around 4th of July or Memorial Day or something like that, where we just celebrate our country. And I'm not saying that those are completely wrong, but if you get more fired up about being a patriot of the United States of America than you do a patriot for the kingdom of heaven, there is something seriously wrong with your walk. And probably that thing that's seriously wrong is you don't know God at all. If you're more fired up about the USA than you are about the kingdom of God, and not just the kingdom of God, but the God behind the kingdom of God, then you probably don't know Him. What it comes down to, and what this scripture is telling us, is that if your desire, all your longings, the thing that makes you tick, that thing that just really gets you, that that you just pour your life into, if that thing is not wanting to know God more and to love Him with all you have, then this scripture is telling you something about yourself. What it's telling you is that you're not heading for this city that God has prepared for those who love Him. You're heading for a different destination. And your eternal end is to be more separated from God for eternity than you are now. And you're probably thinking, well, how can I be more separated from God if you're telling me I'm separated from Him? Well, here on this earth, you at least have the blessing of hearing His gospel, of seeing people who believe this and seeing their walk in faith, being able to see these forefathers who lived and died by faith. And in the end, if you are still separated from Christ, your separation is going to be all the more deep because you don't even get those examples anymore. You don't get to hear the gospel anymore. You don't get to hear the love of God. You don't get to hear any of this anymore. You're banished to loneliness, eternal darkness, complete absence from the presence of God. He'll be there executing judgment, but you will not be in His presence. You will not enjoy any of His blessings, none of His benefits. You'll be completely separated from Him. But to anyone who has longed for Him, who as their whole direction of life has made Him their goal, He promises us we will not come up shorthanded. He has made the way through Christ, and He is not ashamed to be called their God. Those who long and desire for Him above all else. And not only that, He has prepared a city for them. He has prepared a place where they will obtain their citizenship. We will no longer be called citizens of the earth. We will be called citizens of the land of God. Citizens of His city. And the last thing that this passage tells us about all these who finished in faith is that if you've ever started in faith, you will finish in faith. Now, we see examples all the time of people who make these claims and say, well, I believe there's a God. I've made that walk down the aisle. I've been dipped in a pool of water. I've done all these things, but you're telling me I'm not a Christian because I don't make God the very highest point in my life? I don't make Him the biggest thing in my life? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. And all those people who wouldn't answer like that, but who show you with their actions that they don't care for God. What the scripture is saying is they've never known Him. If you've known God, your heart echoes what David says. If you've ever known Him and understood His love for you in sending His Son to die for you and His yearning for a relationship with you, then you would understand His love and you would never quit loving Him. If you have ever longed with that longing of David to know and to love God, despising all else, there will never come a time when you stop having that desire. Now, you might have days that you wake up and you feel a little foul, and the day's just not going the way that you want it. You might have weeks or months where you feel like you're in a depression and you just can't find God for the life of you. Yet, if you're seeking after Him, if you're longing for Him, even in those times when you feel like you just can't find Him, and Scripture tells us of these times as well, and the lives of many who have been in the church tell us of this, that there can be a dark night of the soul. One of those times when you're just looking at the Scripture and you just can't find anything. You're calling out in prayer and you can't hear anything. You're yearning for God and He just seems to be a step ahead of you all the time. You can't really catch Him. You feel an emptiness, a loneliness, and you wonder, is this for real or not? But the Scripture tells us, if you have that longing like David, that if you keep desiring, you keep seeking, God will be found. You will never quit if you're on this journey. What makes people quit, from what we see here, is that they never understood to start with, and when they see where they've been, they decide to stay there. That's essentially what verse 15 is telling us. If they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. If they never took the first step to leave where they've been, but they just keep recalling, well, this is how I used to live. Well, they wouldn't even say used to live because they still live that way. Then they're never going to leave that. See, when we're called out of a country like this, and this verse is speaking to us, that country that we're called out of is the realm of sin. It's that domain of darkness where we've done the works of Satan, where we have obeyed the prince of the power of the air, as Ephesians 2 says. It's that time in our lives when we've been away from God and we've followed the direction of Satan, our yearnings of our flesh instead. And if that's where you stay, if that's where your mind dwells, then that's where you're still at. You're still living for your own desires, your own flesh. But for those who move, those that come out, it's not called back to their mind. I'm sure Abraham could have thought about his family and everybody that he had left in Mesopotamia and wanted to leave Canaan and go back to them. But when he saw the promise that he could have a relationship with God, it just never crossed his mind. Why would I want to go back to my family if I can be with God? The one who loves me supremely, even more than my family can love me. Why would I turn back? Why would I tie myself down to one piece of land when that's not where God is? Or if I tie myself there, then it's going to be disobedience to him. Why would I do that? It doesn't make any sense. If you walk by faith, you're ready to throw off all the ties. You're ready to pursue God simply because he is the greatest. There's no other thing out there, no other person that's so supremely loving of you. I mean, look to Christ. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. Why would you turn back? What about the way that you have lived would make you want to turn back to that, away from a loving God who saved you? I don't think anybody who ever understood that and turned their life over to him would ever retreat back to being drunk every Friday and Saturday night. I don't think they would retreat back to living out on the street just waiting for the next drug high. Now, people are human. They slip up here and there. But I don't think anyone, having tasted this goodness, being able to long and to yearn for God, would ever trade that in for this kind of a direction in their life where they just head back to the slums where they've been. Now, I know it seems like I'm all over the place, but what I'm getting at is that if you have tasted the goodness of God, you love him with all your heart, you will not find anything else to compare. You will not find anything in your previous life that even comes close to bringing you as much joy as you found in him. That was what was common between all of these forefathers and all of them that we're going to be talking about later. All of them found in God exactly what they needed, exactly what they wanted. They were able to rejoice in him. They didn't see everything fulfilled in their day. They weren't able to go walk hand in hand with God through the garden the way that Adam had. But they knew that the promise was there, and they knew the day was coming. And that was enough. Today, we have that promise, and we have seen it fulfilled in Christ. What are we waiting on now? We have to look in faith to his return and really just being with him, period. That's what we long for, to be with him. He's promised us he's returning and that his kingdom is coming. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There's going to be a new Jerusalem. And in that city, there will be no tears. There's no sickness, no death. And it says God himself will wipe away every last tear. We long to be with God. If that kind of faith is true of you today, the clear message of this passage is keep going. Things might look bleak at times. You might feel lonely, depressed at times. But keep seeking after him. He's not going to let you down. All of these saw this promise. Though it was far off, they kept going to the point where they all finished in faith. That's the call today. Finish in faith. And if you have had no idea what I'm talking about the whole time, if you don't know what it is to love God, if you don't understand His gospel, then that's why we're here today. So that you can hear His gospel and understand that He loves you. He's made the move to begin this relationship with you. It's not anything that you've earned. It's not anything that you could ever earn. But through Christ, He has made this relationship possible for you. If you will just seek Him out, will you love Him with all that you have today? Will you finish in faith? Let's pray. God, as we come before You this morning, I pray that You would be the focus of every heart in this room. That our lives would show that we just yearn and long to be with You. That nothing else on this earth is going to satisfy us. Not even being a citizen of what many call the greatest country in the world. Many call it the last hope of the world. God, do not let us be deceived by such language. Let us find our joy in being citizens of Your kingdom. God, help us to love You supremely. God, we pray for Your glory that You would just turn our lives around, that You would reach into us and just cause us to love You with all that we have. God, I pray that You would just completely turn us around from the way that we've been living. Turn us out of that citizenship to follow the demands of the law, to follow the temptations of Satan, to follow all those yearnings of the flesh. God, I pray that You would just show Yourself to us more and more and would just grant us a love of You that just grows and grows and grows more and more as we see the day of Christ approaching. God, grant us the faith of our forefathers who saw Christ far off, very far off, and still yearned and longed for the day because they knew they would be able to be in relationship with You again. God, give us that kind of love that we're ready to forsake everything else that begs our attention in order to love You with everything that we have. In Christ's name, amen.